and I'm gonna do my cheesecake.
Okay.
You know that's my favorite.
Chocolate on it? Or plain? Okay, thanks. One ice cream bar cake, one chocolate cheesecake.
I come to Danny at Toronto for lunch about at least once a week. I try to come 2 days a week. It's just a fantastic place. The food is fantastic. I've never had a soup here that I didn't like. The service here is great. I mean, between Jacqueline and Deborah, like I said, I come and I know when their schedules are, so sometimes I'll come and see Deborah, sometimes I'll come for Jacqueline, sometimes I can come for both if I can wing it.
Hi, my name is Deborah. I have been at Danny 4 years now. I am one of the participants in Danny's supported employment program.
Founded in 2006, Danny provides employment opportunities and day programs for young adults with disabilities. The most recent Statistics Canada report finds that 400,000 working-age individuals with disabilities are unemployed. Danny is trying to make sure their participants avoid becoming part of that statistic.
I think it's fantastic, and if I can be any way of help, then I'm going to do it, especially when I can get really good coffee.
They've given me a life. They accept me for who I am. I can do anything and everything when I'm here. They see me as a person. They don't see the disability. They give me an opportunity to try things, to make mistakes. If I'm having a bad day, it doesn't matter to them. We talk through it, try and problem solve, and then we move on to my job here. When I first entered, I see myself as being a broken wing. I was crying constantly, afraid to make mistakes, constantly afraid I was going to get fired, afraid to do anything, to say anything. But now here I am, and I'm talking to you, which I would never have done 4 years ago.
I'm Kathy Laszlo. I'm the co-founder and the director of Danny. By training, I'm an accountant. 30 years ago, we emigrated from Hungary to Canada. And we had Danny already, our son with a disability, was born in Hungary. So we came with him as a baby. When we arrived here, we were looking for some kind of a program for him, some kind of a school. And we realized that there was nothing really existing, which we liked. So we decided to create one. The name Danny was created when I never even knew we were going to have an organization like Danny. I think my son was about 12 when my husband came up with, that's how you spell his name in Hungarian, D-A-N-I. And he put words to it. So that, yes, it does stand for developing and nurturing independence, because that's really what we do.
Well, just think of all the places you go and people say, so, what do you do?
That's Professor Melanie Panich. What she does is teach in the Ryerson University School of Disability Studies, a program she helped create in 1999.
And all kinds of conversations emanate from that, attitudes emanate from that, friendships emanate from that. So I think it's really without question that the notion of work and job in its various forms and broadest forms. Sometimes it's work that's volunteer, but certainly the disability rights activists have lobbied for real work for real pay, and that is what counts in a society like ours. And it's very difficult to live without money, and people really do want to contribute to the world that they live in. So I think for all kinds of reasons in terms of self-esteem, respect, income, respectability, a fulfilling life, all the reasons people want to work are the reasons why people that we're talking about want to work.
Supported employment programs, like the one Danny offers, promises paid work along with appropriate supports. That might mean suitable equipment or job coaching assistance. A Canadian public policy research body recommends supported employment programs as the best way to help the disabled community break into the workforce.
And why is it so important? Because these people, if not working or if not doing something like what we're proposing, they're living off of a disability pension.
As of 2018, the average disability pension in Canada is just over $970 per month. This is just under $12,000 a year.
These are adults supposed to have independent living. So first time ever they would be able to come off of social assistance and make enough money on their own. And also as an individual, a hand up, not a hand out. Because if you think about living out of this social assistance, is a very sad existence. So if they can make some money, if they can be part of life like anybody else, it's really a win-win, because mental health is a very important piece for us also. The more reliant people are, the more depressed they are, the different mental health illnesses kick in, and everybody loses.
I have a serious mental health illness. I was diagnosed as having borderline personality disorder, depression, anxiety, and OCD. And unfortunately, the stigma against mental health illness is real.
Stats Canada compared job prospects of people with mental or cognitive disabilities with people with physical disabilities. They found that adults who identify with a mental or cognitive disability are 10 percentage points less likely to find a job in Canada.
We can do anything and everything. We are very hard workers and very dedicated. We are not lazy, as people think. We want to be a part of community and we want to be a part of society. We're just asking everyone to please give us a chance and get to know us. Don't be afraid of us. Just get to know us and what's inside of us, and I'm convinced that you will forget that we have that disability.
In Canada, I think there was a lot of organizing around the time the Charter of Rights and Freedoms came into being. So that was 1982 when the Constitution was repatriated from the UK. And in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, there's a Section 15, which is the Equality Clause. And it seemed for a time, as that was being articulated and negotiated, that disability wasn't being included as one of the protective grounds. And there was a huge organizing strategy amongst people with mental and physical disability. The thinking was that it's just assumed if age, religion, culture, ethnicity, class was included in there as protective, it would by in and of itself include disability. But the activists, and that could include parents and young people and their organizations, felt that if it wasn't identified as a specific protective grounds, that it would be invisible and there'd be no way to actually claim rights on the basis of disability. So I'd say that was a really important part of the evolution of this sort of articulation of disability rights in Canada.
Although people with disabilities were equally protected under the Charter, it took some time before that equality was seen in the education system. When she first immigrated in the late 80s, Kathy says it was rare for children with diagnoses to be placed in typical classrooms.
Then he was growing up and he became a teenager and he was in school and he was part of the first group of children who were always integrated in classes and in camps and all kinds of programs, never had been hidden away.
I mean, there was, you know, there's been an education act in Ontario that puts an emphasis on inclusive education that was kind of in the 80s. But I think for a long time, we didn't really know how to do it. First of all, there's segregated schools. Then it moved to segregated classes in regular schools. Then in the regular schools, the segregated classes might have been integrated for gym or for art. And those on the front line have been advocating for more active involvement. But we've also, another step was an emphasis on integration for a long time. But we became critical of that as a final step in the process, because integrated means you're just sort of, some people use the example of you're adding milk and stir into your coffee. You're not really changing the environment to accommodate someone. So you're just integrating. You're taking someone and putting them here and then just expecting things to go on as normal, as regular. I don't like the word normal, so I'm sorry I used it. But inclusion is a very different thing. So if you're practicing inclusion, you're trying to create an environment that's good for everybody and not just expecting that you're going to sort of move someone into something already existing without changing the environment and the context.
When my son Danny was in grade 3 elementary school, we had to change schools. So we went into a new school. And I was a bit worried. It was a regular classroom and they had 5 special need kids in. It's called intensive resource withdrawal. That means they got extra support, but they were part of the regular class like anybody else. So I wanted to go in before he enters the class to talk to the kids, grade three, right, the young kids, to tell them that Danny's coming and is a little different, and just to prepare them. So we had this whole circle, and I prepared my speech that this is a very cute boy is coming, and he's a little different, like he is different than you. And then one kid raised his hand and said, do you mean because he wears glasses? Because we have other kids with glasses, they're just not here today. And I realized I'm so silly. They don't think about Danny as being different. Oh, he has glasses. Okay, so that's an issue maybe or maybe not. So I said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he has glasses and thank you very much. It's good. If you don't think about glasses being a problem, thank you, it's good. And I realized that's how it is. They are 9-year-olds. And why am I making this like a big issue if they don't? So you are part of that generation growing up like this. So you don't look at people with a disability the same way as my generation used to look at to say, oh my gosh, this is in the wheelchair or this one is blind.
I think you can see that there's been changes in the way people have described disability over the years. So if you go back in history, early legislation in Ontario that was on the books for a long time was called the Lunacy Act. And you would come across terms like idiot and moron. And there's been a lot of rethinking about the stigma that's attached to that. But even going forward, many of the community organizations that would have served the kind of people who were served by Danny might have been called associations for the mentally retarded. And there was a lot of challenge to that because it was so stigmatizing. And instead, those organizations are now called Associations for Community Living, which talks more about the goals and what they aspire to than rather than labeling people with a particular diagnosis.
And the goals and aspirations of Danny include creating an organization that is self-sufficient. 3 years after Kathy founded Danny, their first money-making undertaking launched, Danny's very own cookbook.
It was 2009, so it was almost 10 years ago. At that time, it was a very buzzy thing. People didn't have social enterprises. And just to describe what is a social enterprise, it is really a business like any other. The difference is that the profit is not given out to owners or shareholders. The profit is turned back into the organization's budget and helped to run the non-for-profit side of the organization. So we are not a small organization anymore. The mom and pop, Kathy's going to plunge the toilet because it's like clogged kind of, we're not that anymore. We have 16 full-time employees, about a dozen part-time employees. So currently we're running some social enterprise arms. They all connected to food. So we have a catering service. We have a cafe. We have an event center. And then we have a gift service. And the newest arm, which is coming up, is our greenhouse project. My favorite piece is the pop-up restaurant. So why is that my favorite? First of all, what is that? It's basically bringing the food court into people's offices or to a university or school, set up like a food court with prepackaged food, everything made here fresh in the morning. Then it's packaged and it's sold to the public.
I'm Tammy Greenwald. I'm the pop-up manager, and I started working at Danny in January, but started working in pop-up as of September. The program's been running for almost 7 years now. So this is the first year where it's 4 days a week. Last year it was 3 days a week. Before that it was also 2 to 3 days a week. So it's constantly growing and developing. And we're constantly having people come in and out of the program. We want everybody to learn and grow from it. It's really a diverse group of places we go to. We're kind of like all over the GTA.
Danny participants take part in all steps of the pop-up. They package and label the food, take inventory before and after the event, calculate how much money they leave and come back with, sell the food, handle the money, all the way to making the final deposit in the bank. Jacqueline is a participant in the Supported Employment Program. With a few years under her belt, Tammy calls Jacqueline a professional at her job.
I've been working here at Danny for 4 years now. I work here Monday to Thursday, so on Mondays and Tuesday I'm at pop-up. Lately I've been doing cash, or sometimes I give out people the food. It's always different. This is the cash box, I mean the cash container, where I'm going to be taking out everything from the bin to make sure we have it, and then I put everything back. I'm putting the money where it goes in the right order. So, example, the tens go with the tens, and I'm putting in the change. So we have some toonies, loonies, and quarters for today. So the total we have is $139.75. Now I gotta count it again to make sure. Hopefully it is right. It's good to go.
Jacqueline, Tammy, and a fellow pop-up employee, Joshua, grab the boxes of food in the cash container, load up the van, and they're off to work.
And we're gonna get ready to go. It's only gonna get colder. Thank you, Joshy. Look at you, muscle man. Love it. Thank you.
Bye. Today's customers, the students of Toronto's York University.
My name is Francois.
How much the tuna?
And I work at Danny's. I work at the pop-ups. First, I stuff on the table ready for that people come and fill us.
I'm a little worried because I see that people have lunches already, so hopefully people do end up buying the desserts.
We'll see.
Some participants, like Josh, get some extra support from Danny staff while they work. For others, it's a prompt or reminder every once in a while. Tammy says that for the most part, she tries to take a step back.
What do we have, Josh?
Okay, pizza, soup, chili, tuna,
and
crazy.
Can I get a chili and also a slice of pizza, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's hot.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yay.
The total is $8.
How much change does it get?
$12.
Thank you so much.
Some places are small, could be a small office with 25 people. Or we go to Coca-Cola headquarters when there are 300 or 400 people. These people who come and ask who we are and what we do and buy our food, most likely never ever seen a person with a disability working. First time ever in their life, they realize that these people are just like anybody else. There's no difference. So their minds are changing. When that person goes home on the subway, and next to him is going to be somebody who is visibly has a disability, gonna think very differently. Because now he's gonna think, maybe he's coming from work, just like I'm going from work. Or maybe he's going to the movies, like I'm heading to the movies. We are changing hundreds of people's mind about disability on a weekly basis. And therefore, this is my favorite pet project as a social enterprise. I always say that to a new organization coming to learn about Danny, yes, it is. You can duplicate it. Absolutely. It's a pilot project. But number one, I work about 18 hours a day, 6 days a week. And you have to be prepared to do that. And of course, I have many, many people come and do things with me. And I'm not doing it all by myself. But you have to, every organization has to have a lead. And this lead, this head, has to be prepared to work very, very long hours.
Because why I need to work? Because why I need to work?
Supported employment programs are a necessary step in helping people with disabilities find, maintain, and grow from what many adults take for granted, having a job.
Even though if you make a mistake, they're not going to laugh at you, they're going to teach you, and that's what I like about this place, that we're family.
As soon as you walk in, you feel like you're at home, and you really do, and they really care about you. Yes, they know you have that disability, but that's second nature.
The message is really to learn that these people are just people. They are like no different than anybody else. We all have abilities, and we all have disabilities. We just don't think about them as a disability when we are sort of normal people. Normal is only a setting on the washing machine. The rest are all just people.